Good morning, friends forgiven in Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth, for all your word is truth. Amen. Watch your mouth. Sounds pretty harsh, but that's really what St. Paul is telling us in these verses this morning. That's really the tone of the warning Paul gives us when it comes to sins of the tongue, especially as they relate to sins against fellow believers. We hear from St. Paul in the fourth chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, beginning there at the 29th verse. Paul writes, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Watch your mouth. Stop speaking to fellow believers that way, or anyone for that matter. What an important warning and reminder for you and me, because we are tempted so often in this very way. And maybe you could argue even nowadays it's even worse, thanks to the fact we created social media and we can do it now hiding behind a screen. But let's remember that temptation isn't necessarily really the problem. It's not a sin to be tempted. Think of it this way. Temptations for our tongue come every day in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Our minds are like hotels. Whether we like it or not, there's very little a manager of a hotel can do to stop someone from coming into the lobby for a very short amount of time. But he can make sure that that person doesn't get to rent a room. Well, likewise, when it comes to temptation, temptation comes, and it's not a sin when that temptation comes in and out of our mind. The sin shows up when we don't let it pass through the mind, when we hand it a room key and we let it dwell in the mind. And this is true, and so much so that St. Paul here in these words to the Ephesians warns us, and then he goes on and he shows us just how this happens by looking at the progression of these sins of the tongue. Again, verse 31, he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." He's saying that when you hand that key card of the hotel room to that temptation, it goes, it checks into that room, and what does it turn into? It turns into bitterness, something that relates to our entire mood and being. And then it picks up the remote, and it turns on the TV, and it turns into wrath, that uncontrollable passion. And before we know it, it kicks its shoes off, and it jumps onto the bed. And what happens? It turns into anger, that isolated expression of emotion and hostility. And then it makes itself comfortable and it sprawls itself out and it turns into clamor or loud quarreling and evil speaking, he says. Sins that affect and ruin our relationships and our social life. Those sins that manifest themselves in those hurtful and cruel words that we say to our family and to our friends and to our students and to our professors, and to our fellow classmates, and to our teammates, and to our co-workers, to those people that you and I should be showing even more love to time and time again. And then sometimes even those sins show up and they manifest themselves in words of self-pity, causing you and me to lash out at those around us, or maybe even lash out at ourselves. And then Paul says, finally, the manager of the hotel comes and wants to see what's going on in the room. And he opens up the door, and guess what he finds? A mess. He finds malice, the desire and the intention to do evil in everything. The result is that corrupt word proceeds from our mouth. The result is that you and I, we ignore so often the warning here. And in the process, Paul tells us then we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we act contrary to the Holy Spirit in his warning here, what happens is that in time, he's no longer going to speak to us. He will pull himself away from us. And we're going to revert back to that old life, that time in which that old sinful man inside of us is in charge. And that new man can no longer thrive and live in these situations. And in the process, our faith shrivels and it dies. And then we end up with eternal consequences. Prophet Isaiah wrote this. He said, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them." Folks, we must heed St. Paul's warning here. And when those temptations show up in the lobby of your mind and mine, we need to let them know that there is no room for them in the end. Despite our unwillingness or maybe our inability to tell those sins of the tongue and to tell those temptations that there's no room for them, our triune God yet took pity on us, we're reminded here by St. Paul. Humanity chose. We chose to have no room in the inn for our Lord and Savior when he arrived. And yet that did not stop him from coming and descending from his throne on high so that he could come into this world, into Bethlehem's stable, so that he could come here and he could shut the mouth of the devil and every one of his lies. And as he came into this world, when we mistreated him, when we slandered him, when we said all those awful things about him, he still willingly walked that perfect life to the cross, silently like a sheep before its shearers. There on the cross, while we hurled our insults at him, and while the demons and the devil hurled their lies at him, what did Jesus do? The sinless Son of God hung there, and he showed kindness. Kindness to that repentant thief and to you and me. He prayed tender-hearted prayers to the Father, saying, "Don't hold it against them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing." On that cross, the sinless Son of God hung his holy head in silence so that you and I and all believers could be forgiven by God the Father in Christ. Folks, as we gather together today before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, having become his children through baptism, being washed clean of all those filthy words that we have said to all those around us time and again, being washed clean in his blood by faith, may you and I heed this warning of the Holy Spirit in these words. Return to this text regularly. I know I need to. Return to all God's word regularly so that you and I can hear these words and so that the Holy Spirit can do like he is right now. He may impart grace to the hearers. And when temptations show up to speak evil against somebody, to say those hurtful and cruel words, to wallow in those words of self-pity, when they show up in the lobby of your mind, my friends, drop to your knees in prayer to the God of heaven and earth, asking your God and Lord to give you the strength to watch your mouth, and instead to give you and me his life and death and his strength and power that he gives us in the means of grace so that you and I rather may be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Please rise. And we pray, O Father of all love and mercy, through your Son you have commanded us to love one another, and yet so often we fail day after day. By the guidance of your word and spirit, deliver us from impenitence and teach us the truth that we might confess our sins, especially those sins of cruel and hurtful words, whether spoken or written. May we receive your forgiveness and be now reconciled to all we've hurt and to one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
The love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.